This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Good Monday to you, coming to you live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. This is the Outkick the Coverage radio program, Monday, May 21st, 2018, after two pretty dog games in the NBA over the weekend. Warriors got right, and even worse if you're a Houston Rockets fan, Steph Curry got right. Nobody talking today about whether or not he's healthy. It was a lot easier, though, when you're not really making him play defense, you can't make shots, and you're not actually chasing him off the spots he wants to shoot under. He is the greatest shooter in NBA history. Might want to close out on him, make it hard on him, not let him come back into his gym and just tear you a new one. 35 points last night for Curry, 13 of 23 from the floor, 5 of 12 from deep. And then at the same time that the Warriors get right back in front of their home fans, like I think most of us expected, quite frankly, the Rockets just had an awful performance. 85 points from a Mike D'Antoni offense that we saw torch the Warriors in Game 2 back in Houston. This ain't going to get it done. Your two stars, James Harden and Chris Paul, combined to go 12 for 32. That ain't going to get it done. Your third leading scorer was Clint Capella. He had all of 13 points. Eric Gordon came off the bench and gave you 11. Ariza and P.J. Tucker combined for 12. Now, nobody expected P.J. Tucker to go out and do what he did in Game 2. Nobody expected Ariza necessarily to do that either. Role players, rotation players, off the bench particularly, even though Tucker and Ariza were both in the starting lineup, those are guys that show up at home and don't show up on the road sometimes. And we saw the same thing. Really, look, Boston got their teeth kicked in from the very beginning. George Hill and J.R. Smith combining for 3 points. The backcourt, the starting backcourt for the Cavaliers in Game 2, they got absolutely crushed for no showing and giving LeBron no help in Game 2. It was basically LeBron and Kevin Love showed up, played great. Nobody else even stepped off the bus in Boston in Game 2. And then you saw George Hill score on the first bucket in Game 3, and it was off to the races. I don't know what to make necessarily of that. I think tonight we're going to find out a lot, because if you have to go back to Boston, even though you have two of them in your own building, if it's 2-2, and you have to beat LeBron James 2 out of 3 times, that's a tall order, especially for a young basketball team. The pressure all of a sudden does move towards Boston. Tonight's going to be a fascinating study in what this young basketball team is made of and what Brad Stevens has for them. Terry Rozier came out and said, look, we needed this to get ourselves back on track. That's something a younger but still somewhat confident player is going to say. But when you talk about the Houston Rockets, I know we've got some audio here. We've got Mike D'Antoni, we've got Chris Paul, we've got James Harden, and see if you can detect a familiar refrain in these three pieces of audio. Fire those if you would.
Played soft, actually. I mean, you can't do that with these guys. These guys are good. And we still might not have won. Even before, you got to play well. We didn't make shots early. We turned it over. I mean, just it was not a very good game.
Coach is right. We got to be better. We got to come out more aggressive. We was letting them hit first. You know what I mean? They was running the screens and all that stuff like that. And, we know that we're at our best when we're in transition, not taking the ball out the net. And tonight we was taking the ball out the net.
D'Antoni described his performance as a team as soft was the word that he used. What's your reaction to that, and how does that happen in a game of this magnitude?
He's right. You know, we were weren't as aggressive as we needed to be. We started off the game pretty solid, and then we let them gain some confidence to end the first quarter. You know, but just defensively, they didn't feel us, balls, and you know it showed tonight.
It did, James. It did, CP3. It did, Mike D'Antoni. You guys were incredibly soft. And if you want to look at one stat that really determined this basketball game, you heard Chris Paul saying you can't just keep taking it out of the net because you can't set up your transition, which was the key to Game 2, was them missing shots, you playing tenacious defense, getting the rebound, getting the loose balls, chasing after them, taking them down the other way, finding the open shooter with the extra pass, and scoring the basketball. Last night, Houston, 19 turnovers. Golden State, 8. Ball game. end of the – you cannot, in an NBA game against Golden State, turn the ball over 19 times, not protect it, not play good defense, and expect to win. I don't care if you have the greatest shoot. I don't care if you had Steph Curry on that team. You're not going to win doing that. But Steph Curry goes off 13 of 23 again, 35 points. Durant with 25. Draymond Green played a real Draymond Green kind of game where he gave you 10 points, but he's not out there to score. He was a plus 26 last night for the ball game. Took 9 shots, made 3 of them, so he only shoots 33% from the floor. But, oh yeah, 15 defensive rebounds, 17 total rebounds, rebounds for Draymond, and 6 assists in that game. A real Draymond Green kind of game. And then you started to get a little bit more off the bench. I expected maybe we would get even more than 9 points from Sean Livingston, but he was another guy that was out there doing the things that you needed to win. 85 points, you get beat by 41. How do you feel if you're the Houston Rockets now? You're down 2-1. You know you've got to play in that building again. You know that Steph Curry has woken up. And then you come out and you say, we didn't play hard enough. We were soft. It's the Western Conference Finals. I don't understand, and I've never really understood, why it is that some teams can't just show up the way that they're supposed to. Harden's like, oh, well, we started out good, and then we were soft. Why are you soft? You knew exactly how difficult this was going to be. You knew it was going to be monumentally difficult in their building, and you were soft. And Chris Paul says, yeah, we were soft. And Mike D'Antoni says, yeah, we were soft. And Mike D'Antoni has a history of coaching soft teams that can score a lot of points. And when their soft teams don't score a lot of points, they got beat by 41 like they did last night. Let's bring in the crew out from L.A. as they, of course, watch these games this weekend, as the three of us, I would suggest, are bigger NBA fans than Clay is. He'll join us here shortly from Florida. But 126-85. This was a choking dog performance by the Rockets, who admitted they didn't play tough defense and admitted that they were soft. That's pretty damning, quite frankly, that they didn't show up in a game where they really needed to establish dominance or at least make it tough on Steph Curry, who I still don't think is 100%.
Yeah, that Rockets poop fest, that's the kind of game that would make Clay pound on the console right now. Because what would Clay be saying in his words? He'd be saying, it's over. Okay, yes. This is over. All the overreaction posse across America is going to, you know, jump on their microphones or on their TV cameras today and say, well, you lose by 40. That's it. There's no way for the Rockets. But we know what's going to happen. The Rockets might figure it out for the next game and win that game and go back to Houston looking okay, and then the narrative will change again just like it did after game 2. So I wouldn't throw in the towel on the Rockets quite yet.
Well, look, I mean, they're a talented team, and that team is good enough offensively to outscore you, but the Warriors are going to make it awfully difficult. I think it's more likely the Warriors win again, go back 3-1, and then the Rockets might get their second win. But nobody's going to assume they're going to win 3 in that situation. The Warriors just simply don't lose very much in the playoffs. We've gone through that stat in the past. If they go down 3-1, the Rockets are done, even if they do go back and get that win. I predicted before the series, guys, that it would be a 6-game series. Now, on the other side, on the Eastern side, it is LeBron James versus a better basketball team. The Cleveland Cavaliers have certainly played better at home than they have on the road in the postseason, and the Celtics are still undefeated in Boston, but have not played very well on the road during the playoffs. And they came out and they got blitzkrieged, and it reminded me kind of Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, but in reverse, where the Celtics just never took their foot off the gas and throttled the Cleveland Cavaliers. This was an even more dominant performance by Cleveland, who showed up to try and shut everybody's mouth. Tonight is fascinating. You, Danny, I know you picked the Celtics before the series. I picked the Celtics before the series. But I will tell you that if this thing goes back to Boston 2-2, I won't feel nearly as good about my pick, quite frankly, because then you have to beat the best player in the world 2 games out of 3. And that is a lot to ask of a young basketball team. This was the performance Cleveland needed, though. They've got to back it up tonight. Tonight, I think, is maybe the most fascinating matchup we've seen since the first round with the Pacers. and the Cavs, and I don't just mean for the Cavs, I mean in the NBA period, this game I can't wait to see.
Yeah, it's funny. How can the Celtics be so good at home and so horrible on the road?
Yeah.
It's night and day. And so as soon as they get back to Boston, they'll be okay again. So it's just a matter of them trying to wear out Cleveland until the very end of the series. I called this in seven. I said Boston in seven. So I hope we get a long series there. Because even though the games have turned out to kind of be blowouts, up until halftime, they're pretty competitive. Even though the Cavs came out with their foot on the gas pedal, I still was hoping and hoping, okay, maybe Boston will get it together here in the third quarter. It didn't happen. I was watching with a group of people at the Rose Bowl. They had the game on these big flat screens, and it was funny listening to the gamblers talk and watching the lines and hoping that the Celtics could come back in that game. And I looked at the dude who was talking about, you know, how he had gambled on that game, and I said, you should have known that the Cavs were going to come out like this at home. So we kind of knew that was going to happen. Both of these games were very predictable, and they both went the way we thought they would.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And of the two series, though, you feel certainly better for Boston, or maybe you feel better for Cleveland than you do the opposite. That performance by the Rockets, it's a tough place to play, we know this. And if Steph shows up, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. Him waking up, if you were able to continue to push him, make sure his legs weren't underneath him because he wasn't 100%, you're making him play defense on one end. I think they had challenged him three times more on ISO plays than anybody else wearing a Golden State uniform, so they had targeted him defensively. But now you let him get right from three. I mean, if that dude's right from three and you add Kevin Durant to that mix and Draymond Green giving you 17 rebounds, the Rockets have won their last game in this series. But we'll see. We'll find out how that plays out when they go back out there tomorrow night. But tonight, we will continue to break down for the remainder of this show off and on these two games as well as what it foretells for the rest of the series. Also, the Vegas Golden Knights, congratulations, into the Stanley Cup Finals, 4-1 over a Winnipeg team I think many may have favored to win the whole shebang after knocking out the Nashville Predators in the last round. But here comes Vegas. Here comes Fleury. Had one subpar game, but made some incredible saves in the game after that. Winnipeg just simply couldn't score enough. Vegas, in their first year as an expansion team, into the Stanley Cup Finals. They will play the winner of the Tampa Bay Lightning Washington Capitals series. Game 6 of that series is tonight. Tampa Bay has won 3 in a row. It's now 3-2 in favor of the Bolts. So we'll see how that plays out as well. And we'll be right back here on Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I asked Danny G if there's music that fits the scene right now in Outkick land. I mentioned something about doors or locks, suggested a couple of things that I wasn't totally sure about, and he breaks out this. Absolutely flawless job at Danny G Radio, by the way, on Twitter to follow him. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. True Car shows you what other people paid for the car you want so you can recognize a good price. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. If you're wondering, why did Jason Martin open up Outkick the Coverage today? I'm on Twitter at JMartOutkick, by the way. I'll go ahead and drop that plug in there. It's because at Clay Travis on Twitter can't get at in the building. He's down in Florida for the next 2 weeks enjoying a vacation with his family. And right now, and you can follow him again on Twitter at Clay Travis, and you would already know this, he tweeted out a photo of a door. And the reason you tweet out a photo of a door is when you can't get inside a door. He's outside the studio in Destin, Florida, and he can't get in. And he was beating on the door.
Yes. Now, one of the funniest moments in Outkick the Coverage history. So Coop and I are sitting here when it was like you were 2 or 3 minutes into the first segment. And we have the studio in Florida locked in. Their equipment is locked to ours. So we could hear in the studio. Of course, there's nothing to hear in there because nobody's in there. But the microphone is on. So yeah, we just hear this in the background. For 30 straight seconds, and it wasn't a normal knock, it was an angry knock. So that's why when you came to us here in L.A., I was kind of knocking on the console here, and we were trying not to laugh, because that's all we've been hearing in the background. And why? I think we got him on the line here. Clay.
That is me knocking. I'm sitting in my car for the last half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is now. I don't know if there's – I thought maybe there's somebody who fell asleep that's actually in the studio that's supposed to be letting me in. I honestly have no idea. I'm the only car in the entire parking lot. Now, I have been and done shows from this studio before, so I assumed everything would go smooth. So I didn't really get worried even when it was like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes till we were supposed to start, because I just had faith that somebody was going to show up. But right now, I can report that that's funny that you guys could hear. I mean, you guys could hear me beating on the door here in L.A., I don't know what happened. I don't know what the over under is when somebody else is going to show up at this studio. You know, it's whatever 5:25 in the morning, Florida time. So I don't know what the earliest employee to arrive otherwise is. But by the way, this is generally speaking, when I go on the road and try to do a show at a studio, the level of incompetence of whoever the person is that's supposed to just show up. You guys know, this is not a really difficult job, right? Like, for whoever is in charge of this, they literally have to show up and dial a number. And that's it for 3 hours. Like, the guy who was in charge of this last couple of weeks, he sat and watched WrestleMania videos on YouTube for the entire 3 hours that I was on the show. Like, it's not like this is a insanely difficult job to find somebody to do. And I tipped the guy out of my own pocket last time for saying, like, hey, thanks, because we were down here for spring break. I was like, thanks for getting up and coming in early. And I gave the guy like $100, you know, and as if he were not, he's getting paid for 3 hours of watching YouTube videos. And I gave him an extra $100. And now the guy's just, whoever it is, just doesn't show up.
Clay, that's funny, because Friday when you were leaving the studio, I said, hey, I'm going to be there early just in case there's any kind of problems. And you said there shouldn't be, because I've tipped the guy and he knows, and I've been in this studio before. And sure enough, you're outside, can't get into the building, and here we are on the national radio show. Good thing it's not important that the host is actually a part of the show.
Well, again, the thing that is frustrating to me about this is literally the easiest job that somebody could possibly have. Just all you have to do is just show up. And this is kind of like a mystery in and of itself, because somebody was evidently here to connect the show. To me, it's a total mystery. That's why I was beating on the door. Did somebody show up here and then fall asleep? Did somebody die inside? I mean, in which case, I feel bad that I'm banging on the door. Like, is there a dead man in there who was in theory? But I honestly don't know what the mystery is. Like, I've walked all around the studio. There's no other cars here. Like, I genuinely have no idea. It's like a ghost studio right now. I mean, there's nobody else in there, but evidently the audio is like, Danny G, like, somebody dialed you up. Have you spoken to anybody?
Well, I dialed their machine, so technically nobody had to be standing there for me to do that if they had it on the right settings on their equipment. But
so somebody could have left it there like on Sunday night and then left. So
correct.
It's possible that there's just nobody. Like, literally, all somebody had to do was show up and be here to let me in. That's literally the entirety of the job. They don't even have to dial anything.
Yeah, oh, they could have left a key for you under the mat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is like, so what should happen? Like, I feel bad, but I feel like this guy has to get fired. Like, this is, we're on 300 stations, right? All this guy had to do was show up and open the door, and he could have managed to do it. And we should point this out too. The guy is not responding to any phone calls.
Yeah, that's not great. Let's hope that nothing wrong has happened.
It's a bad thing for him. Either he's dead or he should get fired. That is my personal breakdown of this situation. If you want to get me on the Telestrator, there's option A, he's dead, which is unfortunate, certainly. Option B, he gets fired. I don't see an option C.
Who's more fired up this morning, D'Antoni or Clay Travis?
I'm more fired up, because it was predictable that the Rockets were going to get their ass kicked. It was not necessarily predictable that somebody couldn't show up at this Florida studio and just open the door for me.
So was my prediction right?
Knocking audio? This is how loud I'm knocking. I thought maybe somebody was asleep.
Let's hear this. Are you going to show us? Are you going to give us a sample of how you were knocking on the door?
Oh, do you want me to get out again?
Yeah, we thought you were going to do it. I heard it. What's funny is I heard it through the background through the mic that I can usually, you know, hear him when he's in other studios. I heard it too.
Oh, so
this is live radio. This is me knocking on the door in Florida trying to get it.
I turned up their microphone that's on in the Florida studio. So let's see if we could hear his cell phone and the actual studio sound.
All right,
go for it.
There's literally no one in there. And by the way, the sun's coming up in Florida now. I'm just walking around in the parking lot like a crazy man. There's nobody else awake. There's nobody else in this whole studio. This is the kind of high-end coverage you don't get anywhere else on national sports talk radio, for sure. How many other people do you think have been locked out of their studio before in a half hour over the parking lot?
And that's a really fair question. You're also not
Howard
really a...
Stern, in his entire career, do you think Howard Stern has ever shown up at a studio and people haven't let him in?
Ever? I don't know. I don't know if this is something that happens to anybody or if it just happens to you, because as you mentioned off the top,
every time I go to a studio that's different than our own, like this happened in Knoxville, this happened in Texas, this happened now in Florida, like, the level of incompetence across the board. Oh, somebody's pulling in. Hold on. No, that was next door. I got excited there for a minute. I thought somebody was pulling in. That was just the parking lot next door.
I got really excited. I wanted to hear the confrontation.
I did too.
When this guy gets on, I don't know if he's ever been on national radio before, but whoever gets here is going to have to come in to get a grilling. Yeah. On what happened, and again, if he's dead, I feel bad for him.
When he gets there,
it's going to be the last thing he does on his job.
When he gets there, Clay, do you think he's going to hand you your $100 bill back?
That's the other thing. I should demand my tip back. I 100% should demand my tip back. I gave the guy $100 last time when I came down here for spring break.
Well, while we have you, was my prediction correct? If you did the first segment as usual on your own microphone, would you have said the Warriors they're in the finals already?
I didn't hear you because there's a bunch of these big semi trucks that just drove by in the background of the parking lot. So you're gonna have to.
We are just such a pro outfit right now. We were sort of predicting in the first segment, off air too. We were predicting, you know, what Clay would have led with, and obviously we would have talked about the games. But further, we were just pretty sure Clay would have opened up by saying that the Warriors are in the NBA Finals.
Yep, that's it. It's over.
It's over. This is actually. Better rate. There's more captivation and uncertainty about whether or not I can get in the studio than whether or not the Warriors are going to win the NBA title.
There are people on Twitter, by the way, saying it's my fault.
That's good. It is. Technically, it is your fault. Somebody has to take the blame. It's probably you. You probably should have just come to Florida and been here to open the door. You probably should have slept in the studio.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Clay. I mean, I could have, but you didn't tell me to come. It's not like I'm just going to, make the trip myself.
Well, I'm not going to let you stay with my family. You have to find your own place.
I'm not staying with your family.
Sleeping in here in a cot in Panama City Beach, Florida.
Wow, a cot?
The sun has come up now, and I'm just sitting like a crazy man in a car outside of the studio here. I do know that at some point people show up in the morning to work at this building, because when I've done the show here from this building before, about an hour and a half in, there's somebody else that will show up. But do you think this has ever happened to Paul Pabst? Listens. I'd like for Paul Pabst to call in. Has this ever happened to the Dan Patrick show? Do you think that Colin Cowherd, Dan Patrick, anybody else that does national radio has ever shown? Did Mike and Mike, have Mike and Mike in their entire career at ESPN ever shown up at a studio and not had somebody to let them in? Do you think this has happened to anybody else in national sports talk radio?
Ever? I have to imagine it probably has at some point, but
no. Somebody who has a multi-year career, not like a one-hit wonder. Like, we need Paul Pabst to call in. Has the Dan?
Yeah, I hope he does call.
Ever had a situation where they were like on remote? They do their show all over the country, right?
Yep.
Have they ever had a situation where they showed up and there was nobody there to let them in, and the show just went on without them on the mic?
Well, whatever small chance there is that that's happened, they probably would have kept it off the air and just had a fill-in person and not mentioned what was going on. But on this show, you got to love it because we keep it real.
That's true. Just do exactly what, should we open up phone lines and let people decide what we should do to this guy? Like, how, what should we do to the guy?
I think that's a really good, that's a really good idea, especially after two NBA blowouts that we wouldn't have wanted to talk about for 3 hours. Open up the phones and have people discuss what the punishment should be. This guy should definitely be put on trial. I mean, if I was put on trial and Danny G was put on trial.
Right now. Now, before we start the trial, let's presume, by the way, that the guy's not dead. Because if he's dead, then I feel bad that he didn't show up. But if he's alive, what should his punishment be? Am I being too severe in saying that he should have to give me the $100 tip that I gave him last time for coming in for the week and letting me in the door? Or so he could watch wrestling videos on YouTube. If I demand the $100 back, is that salt in the wounds while also demanding that he be fired? Or does that seem fair?
It's a good question. 877-996-6369. That's 877-99-ON-FOX. Give us a call. What should the punishment be, assuming that he's okay? That's the only thing. It's like, yes, we definitely hope that he's okay.
Yeah. So maybe, yes, maybe we should wait until hour two just to make sure that, you know, he's
no,
not.
No, I want to get – I'm going to put this guy live on the – whoever lets me into the studio is going to be put live on the air and have to answer for what has transpired here. Why have you not answered your phone? Why have I had to sit in my car parked outside the Panama City Beach, Florida studio for the last hour? What do you have to say for yourself? Where is my $100? All of these things will be uncovered in hour two. But I want, am I overreacting, or is this a fair, is my $100 back and a firing a fair punishment for this?
Clay, I just saw your tweet. I think you should just break the glass.
You know what? I honestly thought that. Like, I honestly was sitting there thinking to myself, like, if the studio is running and it's like a ghost studio right now, right? Like, there's a mic there. Everything is, in theory, I know where the studio is. I've been in this studio before. Would it have, would Howard Stern have broken the glass and just walked in and done the show with a broken front door? How baller would that have been if I was just like, I actually did think for a minute, this would be incredible radio. There's for some reason a grill outside. They have a grill, I guess they have like cookouts here, I don't know. I was thinking to myself, what if I just took the grill and just threw it through the door, the glass, and whenever the employee got here, like there was just a grill laying on the ground, the glass was broken, and they were like, oh my God, like somebody broke in. And it was like, no, it's just me trying to go do my national radio show because nobody else at Clear Channel was here to open the door, or iHeart.
Now, would there be an alarm going off in the background as you tried to broadcast?
The alarm going off in the background would be incredible live radio. Also, what would they do to me? Like, there's no precedent, I would imagine, for a host wanting so desperately to do his job that he broke into the building to do his job. I bet that's never happened in iHeart history.
There's
before.
Nothing about that in our employee handbook.
No, so there's not. That's right.
Is that like the Purple Heart of radio? Do I get an award if I break into the building to go do my own show?
I mean, it shows that you care. It shows that this show and the OutKick audience are important to you. And the OutKick audience is starting to respond as well. 877-996-6369. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put Clay on hold. We're going to find out what's happening here. I've got calls here that I need to screen. So let's go to Eddie Garcia. Let's find out the latest in the world of sports. We'll come back. We'll take a quick break. And then we will have some kind of impromptu trial coming up. Again, 877-99-ON-FOX to join us. Eddie, what happened last night?
Well, we had an NBA playoff game that wasn't any good. Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals saw the Warriors blow out the Rockets 126-85. Only a 41-point win for Golden State. Steph Curry had 35 points. Kevin Durant, 25 points. Golden State now 6-0 at home. This postseason, they've won 15 straight home playoff games dating back to last year, and they now lead this series 2-1. NHL playoffs, Game 5 Western Conference Finals. The expansion Vegas Golden Knights beat the Jets in Winnipeg 2-1. Ryan Reeves with the game-winning goal. Marc-Andre Fleury, 31 saves in net as Vegas wins the series 4-1, and they are going to the Stanley Cup Final. This report brought to you by TrueCar. Online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. And obviously, the Clay Travis audience, big in SEC country, may have missed it over the weekend, but former LSU legend and Heisman Trophy winner Billy Cannon passed away on Sunday. He was 80 years old, won the Heisman in 1959, two-time All-American, helped the Tigers go to 11-0 in 1958 and win the national championship again. Billy Cannon passing away at the age of 80.
Thank you, Eddie. We'll talk to you next hour. We're coming to you live from the Geico Outkick Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. All you got to do, go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Also, a bonus sponsor. They didn't even pay us for this one. Today's show also sponsored by Master Lock, keeping you out of where you need to be for over 100 years. Danny, this is fantastic.
Yeah, Clay is not in the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios right now.
He is not in the Geico Outkick studios, that is for sure. We are in the Geico Outkick studios. I'm in the Nashville variation. You're in the Los Angeles variation, along with Justin Cooper. We're going to take a break as the phone lines are starting to bounce. We will take your calls after the break. If you're on hold right now, stay there. I'm on the radio, so I can't talk to you yet. Stick with us. On the other side, what will the punishment be for the person that didn't show up for Clay Travis? And by the way, Radio Pro with the worst phone connection we've ever had on this show. Either he's eating his phone every 2 seconds, or somehow he borrowed Lance Taylor's phone. Lance Taylor's always had the phone that bothers me the most on this show. I think Clay has taken him down, but it might be, I don't know, something with semi-trucks or whatever it was he was saying. If you are on the way to the studio in Panama City, you might just want to turn back around and go home, because I have a feeling this is not going to go particularly well.
You're fired. But you're fired.
It's good, yeah. But you're, it's going to be Magic Radio. Stick with us. This is Outkick to Coverage. J-Mart, impromptu, in for Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.